Welcome to the Analytics at Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Special Sunday strategy session. All the Sundays are special. This is a team. I'm going through a little bit of a team building exercise here. And this is an interesting one because I did this startup literally 8 months ago. So beginning of January. And I'm now sort of going through some continuing process. I've continued to work on the team. And I find myself in kind of a weird spot. So I kind of want to walk you through it and give you, I think this is a good exercise and it's a good reminder of some of the things that we can face and then how to pivot and leaving ourselves flexible with open options. So I drew the 111. Again, this is the week after the NFL draft ended. So this is January. We haven't declared anything yet. All the rookie picks were in the startup. You could draft whatever rookie picks you wanted, and it was it's basically a safe leagues knockoff. That's what it is. It's safe leagues format. 6-point passing touchdown, 4-point interception, souped up tight end premium. So yeah, and I knew some of the stuff that was coming in terms of the tight end premium stuff. So I tried to be a little bit more adept, a little bit more attentive to that, being aggressive on the on the tight end side to some degree. And I was very, very pick flexible. So that'll come important here in a bit. So Russell Wilson at 111, it was an easy one for me at that point. He went, just by way of reference, he went in at 111. Again, that stayed pretty close to about the same. So, I mean, it's not too, too different from where he is right now. He did go ahead of Lamar Jackson in this and Joe Burrow, and he went ahead of 101 and 102, which went real early in the second round, early in the second round, 14 and 16 overall. So he went just behind Dak Prescott as well. So Kittle went up there. Kittle's fallen a little bit from this time. It's interesting. Watson and Mahomes and Watson went 1 and 2. So notable how some of that stuff has turned out. At 202, I traded down. Pretty standard one for me, 404, 1204, and a future first. So that's one future first. You're going to see a theme building here. Ended up bailing on that pick. The person took, they actually did that for the 101. So I didn't know how quite, I wouldn't have probably done that anyways, but I didn't realize quite how valuable that was going to be when it was January. I think, all told, I don't think I'm too terribly far behind, but I think it's an interesting exercise here to look and see how some of these things turned out. So I end up going into the next round. By the way, that team is very, very, very young. So I have that first on that team. They did take Trevor Lawrence. Their quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Davis Mills, Kellen Mond, and I got the first. So we'll see how that all boils out. But I think it's interesting. They have basically 1/4. Yeah. And so I've got, you'll see here in a second, but I've got, that's a first that I have. So I go with those picks that go at 404. I get Zeke and then I go to 1204 and I actually get Cole Kmet. And I got the first. So it's probably a value loss, honestly, now. But we'll see. I think that pick could be pretty early. So we'll see. But in hindsight, I probably got the wrong end of that just from where we stand value-wise right now. So 311 comes, and I take Noah Fant. So he's early off the board there at the tight end position. Again, I knew some of the stuff that was coming in Analytics Dynasty. I wanted to be aggressive at the position. Hockenson had gone off. He went, right. He was basically the last of the tight ends to go off. Mark Andrews had gone. You had basically all the tight ends, the big initial tier, gone by 35 overall. With Waller in the first, Kelsey in the first, Kittle in the first, Andrews in the second, Hockenson in the second, and then Fant in the third. So I actually got about a round of pick equity on Fant and Hockenson there, which at the, they I think, have tracked relatively close. I think Hockenson's jumped up a little bit, but they've actually slid down the board a tad from where they were this early. So we continue. I took Michael Thomas at 402. That was my natural pick. I took Jared Goff at 511. That was obviously pre-trade. Amari Cooper, 602. Then I get 109 and 110. And that's at that 7-8 turn, 83 and 86 overall. Come back and take Julio at 9-11, so that's 107 overall. I take Jameis Winston 10-02, and that is 110 overall. So I think at that point, you know, I've got a decent core built out. That's probably, you know, it's a in hindsight, I've taken a couple of value losses. I probably took a value loss on Goff, that was pre-trade. We'll see some of the value gains that I got here in a minute. But yeah, with the Jameis thing, I mean, I ended up actually pivoting just fine off of that. And he ends up being, it's tough to say here because the quarterbacks are actually in the, all the picks are listed as quarterbacks. So he was 37. Yeah, so he's about quarterback 25 at that point. 24. 25, somewhere in that range. He's off after Brady, after Daniel Jones, by way of reference, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan. The next quarterbacks after him are Drew Lock, Bridgewater, Darnold, Garoppolo. Taysom Hill goes a couple rounds later. So you get the drift there. That's kind of where he's fallen. And then you, after that, it was, again, that was pre-Julio trade. So many of these things have happened. It's been crazy in this team. Again, nothing has really sunk me, but it's an interesting look at how some of these things have come around and just how quickly things can change. You know, and that's 6 months. I mean, a big takeaway from this is how quickly things change in 6 months and leave yourself flexible. And that's really something that I try and do in my drafts. I don't want to commit to anything. A little bit of a procrastinator in it. I think it actually serves me kind of well in this because I don't have to make decisions right away. I can sort of be very flexible and I want to have a lot of outs. And so this is kind of what I did with the picks, you know, and then I get Julio for basically the equivalent of 202, 203, which is fine. Again, that was pre-trade. I don't think it's really hurt his value all that much. It's kind of where he's going. You know, Jameis at that point is going, you know, 203, 204, right in that range. I end up getting 206 a couple rounds later. Notably, there's a 15, 16, 17 pick gap there between 204 and 206. So that's actually some equity. I take it right after 205. So again, I get, it's literally the pick before me. And then I come back another pick at the, at in the 12th round there, it's 208. And then my extra pick in that 12th round is from that earlier trade. So I get Kmet. So again, I'm heavy here. I'm heavy on picks. I got four picks in the top 12 rounds. And then I've got two tight ends out of the top 16. Again, I've gotten a little bit more aggressive since then, but I thought that Kmet is a potential value riser. He wasn't going to fall in value, I didn't think, outside of an injury. Alexander Mattison ends up going off 13th round. I'm not going to go through all of these. I'll just highlight a couple more. I take a couple more rookie picks. Gerald Everett at tight end 26. He'll factor in later. Philip Rivers, I took quarterbacks. He's in the late 30s, early 40s. That was pre-retirement. There was rumors circulating, but I was like, I can't allow him to just, you know, slide by. So I took him. I probably should have taken Ryan Fitzpatrick. I actually thought that there was a bigger chance that Fitzpatrick was going to retire than Rivers just because I listened to an interview. Kind of shows what happens when you take on more information. Sometimes it can actually hurt you. I kid, but only half jokingly. So again, I think the team ended up turning out pretty well. Latavius Kerryon, the big correct answer is Mike Davis in the 22nd round. Again, he'll factor in a minute here. Anthony Firkser later on picks. So I end up getting basically four out of the top 20 picks in the rookie draft. I then also nab multiple thirds and three fourths I took a shot on Jarrett Stidham late just because I thought, hey, maybe there's a shot that he's a starter. I didn't know. And again, that, I think taking those really bimodal bets is really a big thing because it clears roster spots. It actually gives you roster flexibility. You don't know, especially that early on, you don't know. And you're going to need roster flexibility to figure out your summer and stuff. So taking some of those bets where it's like, hey, if Rivers retires, he's worth nothing. That's fine. But if he plays, he's actually probably worth rounds and rounds more of value. And again, that allows me to maybe pivot off a Goff or pivot off a Winston, or, you know, it's just giving me that sort of depth. So those are some of the things that I tried to really do. And I think, again, leave myself lots of outs and with the potential for some uptick in valuations. So again, the two first was pretty nice. So I end up getting, having bullets, having powder dry, having bullets stored away, right? Use your metaphor, having assets that you can move around. Really important. I'm working on this thing about some basketball stuff, and I keep finding these really similarities with basketball. And one of the lessons I've really taken from watching basketball analytics and transactions and that sort of thing is just how important it is to not be behind in assets, because there's going to be someone big that comes available. How do you make that happen? And having liquid assets to do it is a great place to start. So again, multiple firsts here, Deshaun Watson, the whole thing happens. And I say, listen, everyone's running scared. At that point, I thought it was kind of, this is mid-April. That was kind of a weak class. Like, I figured there was going to be a top 6, 7, 8, something like that. I was at 9. I said, listen, I think I can use this pick and make a pivot and be fine. Because like I'm getting at a spot where I might take, a day two running back, I'm going to get the shot at having an elite quarterback. And I know I could sort of withstand that pain if it comes because the upside is really great. So that's one that I do there. I also trade out, some excess picks. I trade 305 for a future third, a future fourth. Fine. Like, I'll kick the can on the picks. It's fine. Soon thereafter, I actually get an offer from a team that I didn't think was going to be super, super competitive. And I took, so I had at 110, I'd taken Mac Jones. And I saw a team I didn't expect to be super, super competitive. I thought, hey, maybe they're a contender. I'm not sure. Like, maybe they're, and I knew some of the stuff that this owner has done in the past where he tends to kind of blow up and go for like a rookie build. So I wasn't entirely sure what his angle was, but he offers me a first, a third, and a bunch of blind bidding dollars from Mac Jones. I took it. I wanted to leave myself plenty of options, plenty of outs. It's my third first round pick. So again, I haven't really lost a what I would consider like a core asset yet in this. I think maybe in the trade down from 101, I probably lost equity there in terms of maybe getting another core asset. But I stockpile the first. I get two out of that deal. I get Elliott and the first compared to Lawrence, which, when you sort of look at that compiling assets, Lawrence is the better one, but I've got two and I've got flexibility in terms of what I can do. So now I get another one. Again, what is Mac Jones? I don't know. I know the first is a core asset, though. So I take the first, do that. I give Jameis in June. I actually give Jameis for David Joku. I wanted to take a flyer on Joku just because I thought, hey, there's a chance he gets traded. Buffalo was sniffing around on a tight end, those sorts of things. And I get a first. And I said, I don't know if he's the answer there. And I don't know even if he is the answer. It's a question you should always ask yourself. If he is the answer, if he does what we kind of expect, how much more valuable is he going to be? Because if the answer is not much, all the risk is downside, right? All the risk is holding on to the asset. It was actually a thing with Hayden Hurst that I saw last year. I was like, even if he's like good, like even if he is kind of hits expectation, what are we going to think? And he hit basically what he was projected to be, and he falls through the floor. You know, that's one of those things where it's like that's really should be a cautionary thing. So always ask yourself, if this person succeeds to the level that the market kind of thinks he's going to right now, he's projected to, if he does that, what's going to happen? And for me, it was pretty clear on Hayden Hurst that he wasn't going to be that big of a difference maker. Here with Jameis, again, even if he's successful, I'm still not going to feel great in the long term unless he's like super, super elite. But we've kind of seen like teams haven't taken that. So there's probably something there beyond just, some of the numbers stuff that there's no one has taken a long term investment in him. And I think that should probably speak to us. So I get the flexibility. That's my fourth first. Again, I haven't traded away anything that I think hurts me super much this year. And then I get. This one happened just this past week, and this has caused me to sort of go back and look at this. It's a bunch of negotiation that happened, but it ends up being a bevy of assets. So it ends up being I give Mike Davis and Gerald Everett in my second. Okay, so I give Mike Davis, Gerald Everett in my second. So by way of reference, Mike Davis, 2202. Gerald Everett, actually 1511. And my second next year. In return, I get Jordan Akins, who I actually kind of like from a volume perspective this year. Again, this is a lot of premium at the position, at tight end. And so one of my things is hey, if I'm trading away a non-core guy, I'm getting back a potential lineup asset who's also not a core guy and getting a core asset. Like that's kind of what's going on. And again, with this format, you could sort of play these things across positions and, you know, listen, I can like, fine, I'll start three tight ends. Like we can make that work if need be. Might not have a ton of depth at running back. And honestly, I think this is important. Mike Davis is really found value. I mean, you get the chance to turn a 22nd round pick into a core asset. Like, you got to do it. And that's kind of the way I looked at this. And so my sort of thought process on this is like, if I look at this, I'm kind of thinking it's Gerald Everett, and it's really like, it's really Gerald Everett and Akins and those picks, right? That's part of the me moving Davis for a first, right? Ultimately, like that's kind of what it is, because the third, the fourth, kind of get close to a second. It's kind of what it is, and then you get kind of, you know, you get Everett and Ty Johnson. You're getting the first, right? The only core asset in the deal is the first, and I got it. So that's, again, that's kind of a big thing there for me in terms of how I built that out. But again, I don't think it, unless Mike Davis goes full on last year, it's going to cost me a win. But in the overall scheme of things, I think I've got down the road with that pick, I've got a lot of different options and a lot of different outs. This is actually the league where I offered four firsts for Mahomes just to see what would happen. And I got rejected. So now I got a fifth one. I'm not sure I'm going to fire that, but we'll see. Again, I did with this team, I did some what I would consider like some layering too. So I had a variety of quarterbacks. I had some different running backs in terms of structure. At this point, now I've got I've got Zeke, then I got Gio, I've got Xavier Jones actually, which is kind of nice. We'll see what happens with that. I got Madison, got Murray, Ngannou, Allison, P. Ryan. So I've got a good chunk of the human hand grenades that we're kind of in on. I don't know if I mentioned Giovanni Bernard too. He's not so much a human hand grenade at this point, but I've got options there. The wide receiver position is kind of, it's taking a little bit of a hit. I got Amari, so we'll see there with him in terms of his health. Julio, again, that was pre-trade, so that sort of ended up being a little bit different, a little bit less than expectation, but it's okay. I got Michael Thomas as well, which that, again, that's kind of a loss. And that's part of the thing with the Davis trade is I'm sort of looking at it and I'm like, all right, even if Davis like is really good, I'm not sure if with Julio currently banged up, I think he's going to be back. I'm not super concerned about it, but Michael Thomas is probably going to miss most of the season. You know, I think Amari's going to be fine, but I'm kind of banking that Watson's going to miss a bunch of time now. So I'm kind of getting down where I've lost some of the ceiling, but at the same time, I think Akins, I can sort of throw him in there and, you know, 4 for 40 is 12 points, right? So that's with the premium. So that gives me some options. And again, now at the tight end position, I've got a variety of different guys. Again, there's probably going to be able to set up another move. I've got Fant, Akins, Firkser, Noah Gray, I actually took in a rookie draft, Tommy Tremble, I took in a rookie draft, Cole Kmet, David Njoku, and Firkser. So I have a variety of guys. I got Dwayne Eskridge and Josh Palmer really late in the rookie draft as well. Kenneth Gainwell and Ngakoue. And I'd taken Mac Jones and basically turned multiple of the picks ultimately into Deshaun Watson. So like it was a pretty successful rookie draft from my vantage point. Again, more future first. I got more picks. So right now I'm sitting on 5 firsts. I'm sitting on, I actually don't have any seconds. I got 4 thirds and I got 3 fourths. I didn't really intend this to happen, but just all along the line, it just sort of was like, hey, I think this is the right decision. Now I found myself in a situation where I kind of got a lot of question marks and I could go a couple of different ways. Like I could fill the needs, but I'm not sure as I sit here right now what needs I actually have, right? And like I am recording this on Friday, and by the time you listen to this, if that's Monday or if it's Sunday, it's Monday, on Wednesday, like there's a chance that Deshaun Watson's traded. Right? There's a chance the information on this podcast is stale because of a trade, which I think ultimately really tilts this. There's a chance at the same time that he goes on the exempt list, that he gets arrested, right? There's a lot of ranges of outcomes. But with this, I can go a lot of different ways. I've sort of put myself in a really flexible situation. Could I compete this year? You know, if what do I need to kind of happen? Well, I need Russell Wilson to be Russell Wilson, right? I probably need Watson to be back. If Watson's not back, I do have Goff still, so I can get through. We can figure that out. You know, if he can give me quarterback 2 production, now I'm hunting. Now I'm sort of, you know, on the hunt. If I got Watson giving me top 6 production, now I'm in a really good spot. I probably have a pretty good shot if I can get, you know, some receiving production there out of Cooper and Julio being back and sort of get through until Michael Thomas comes back. I've got options. At the running back position, I've got Zeke, right? And so, again, if things kind of break my way, I've got a potential really elite season out of Zeke still in front of me. But I'm not sure, right? I'm not sure. And again, how does he sort of fit the long-term build? Is he on the next contending team? Well, if the next contending team is in 2022, yeah. If the next contending team, you know, if for example, I don't know, I get an injury, you know, that's a long-term injury from someone, you know, if Noah Fant goes down and isn't going to play next year, you know, if Watson gets arrested, right now I'm kind of pivoting out of Zeke. One thing I think about when I'm looking at this decision and why I sort of want to talk about this podcast, and I'm getting to one of the key points that I actually thought about this today and is talking with a couple of people. The Zeke thing's really interesting in this because I've got a potentially pretty valuable chip. I'm not sure in the offseason how valuable it is. He's taken a little bit of a beating, but at the same time, if things come around in season and he's good early, which I think is very possible, and at the same time there's other injuries that go on, maybe it's McCaffrey or Barkley's out for a while, or you know, the Barkley situation breaks worse, or Dalvin Cook gets hurt or something like that, like there will be an opportunity to potentially pivot to another elite running back and potentially get more assets back. I think that's something I have to keep my eyes open to. There's multiple different ways I could pivot off of Zeke. If I do it right now, I might not necessarily have the same market I would have in season. So sort of keep those things in mind as you're sort of facing this decision of, am I in, am I out? Like, I'm probably out, right? I'm probably not going to be a contender this year. And if I get, if Watson, you know, listen, if Watson's going to be not playing, maybe there's a scenario where I don't want Zeke's potential points, right? That could be another scenario too, where I could say, hey, listen, my pick's going to be really bad, but for, you know, Zeke putting up 23 a game and now it's hurting me, right? That could be an equation too. So sort of factor that in. I don't think that's the ultimate end all be all of a trade, but I do think you kind of have to use your head in terms of, hey, if I can pivot, you know, if I can pivot to future assets, like that helps me in multiple ways. So I have that option, right? I have that option with Zeke. And we'll see how this goes, right? So I think that really those are the things that I'm looking at this point, right? Hey, Zeke offers me an ability to go multiple different ways. If there's a really slow start for a guy like Taylor, for example, if you know, one of the rookies, for example, like isn't playing, if we get kind of like a, you know, pick what week the narrative on the rookie running back happened last year, whether it was Dobbins or Akers, right? Or, you know, Akers, oh, what a wasted pick. And then all of a sudden he's like a first round startup pick and then he gets hurt. And like, it's within a year, it's been an insane rocket up and down, you know, roller coaster. So I can capitalize on that, right? I can sort of be in on that with Zeke, right? It gives me some layering options. And then I got a lot of different backup running backs that could sort of put me in a variety of different layers too, of the value of the position. Again, at receiver, you know, if Julio comes in and I can, like, he's a potential one too, that, you know, is he going to be on my next good team? I'm not sure at this point. It could be this year. It could be in the future. We'll see. But he's one too that I could say, hey, let's pivot off of, take the future asset, potentially, you know, shedding potential points and getting myself an elite pick. Again, not necessarily tanking, but got to use your head in terms of how you, you know, I'm still going to play it out. I'm still going to do the right lineup thing. I'm still working the roster. I'm still trying to win. But if at some point it becomes the thing where I'm like, hey, I'm only hampering myself, like kicking the can for future assets, there's nothing wrong with that. So that's really what my ultimate build is. So I got five first. It's something I've never had happen before. Again, I doubt that I'll pick with them all. But what this really does allow me to do too is, if there's a Mahomes trade, if there is a Mahomes injury, I don't think he's going to get traded. You know, if there is a Dak Prescott long-term injury, if there is any of those core guys, right, I can go out and add them too, right? I've got the ability, whether it's trading Russell Wilson for injured guy plus plus, whether it's trading a good starting Goff for someone that struggles. And listen, I can throw helping assets on top of it. I've got the ability with some of the tight ends and my receivers, I can sort of throw assets at that to get another elite quarterback, something like that. I've got a wide variety of different things. And listen, if someone wants to tank the season, you know, if someone starts poorly, I've got first to address needs if things break my way. So I got a lot of different things going on with this team. And I thought it was interesting, especially the Zeke component, right? If my you know, my 2-2-2, right, my 2 weeks is like I kind of want him, like I want to hold on to him. My 2 months is really the area I'm not sure on. You know, what's going to happen in that 2 months that's going to cause me to make decisions? And I think that's really the thing, because 2 years can look a lot different. I don't intend to take this team into a full on tank. But 2021 could be rough if no Watson, Goff's bad, you know, Zeke's subpar, Julio's, you know, wide receiver 40, and Michael Thomas is out until Thanksgiving. I'm in a lot of trouble. But if some of those things break right, I could be in a really good spot too, with some depth at tight end that could potentially pivot. So, you know, I've left myself options. I've got outs. I've got picks. If someone goes in the tank, like, I've got picks. I can float them over, and pivot. So one thing too, I'll say, when you look at this and when you sort of consider this, you know, I'm not a big fan of trying to project how teams are, right? If this team is going to be really, you know, really bad, you know, this team's probably going to be really good, you know, and trying to do that thing with the picks. But with five picks, there's a really good chance that one of them's an elite pick. really good chance that a couple of them are elite picks. And then when you sort of just on like a base rate level, and then when you sort of go a little bit further, you can kind of take a look and see, again, I am in that competition. I am firmly potentially the 101 if things don't go well, which isn't a far stretch from what could happen. But if I am not, there's a lot of other opportunities for these picks to be there. One of the teams has Lance Lawrence Pitts as their core. So we'll see when you continue to look down the line in terms of the rest of the assets on the roster. Again, it's a decent long-term build. Like I can't poke a ton of holes at it. Jamar Chase is on it. DK Metcalf's there. Devonta Smith. Like there's a lot of – it's a very young roster. Evan Ingram, Goddard, Kelsey actually, which is interesting how this build comes together. But they really are going to need – Lance and Lawrence, like if Lance doesn't start, this guy's in trouble. And so that's really one of the things I would sort of keep in mind. Like there's a potential there. Again, he doesn't have any really running backs. He's got Michael Carter, and that's pretty much it. Devontae Booker, we'll see. Tight ends are really good, but there's a lot of other questions. Like that pick could be actually pretty good. And honestly, if I'm good, like that could be a potential team where I trade picks for Kelsey. That could be that type of team, so which would be interesting turnabout. Another team here that I have their picks of Cousins and Mayfield, the starting quarterbacks. Like it's okay, it's not super elite. It's okay, not a ton at running back. Montgomery, Swift. There's some holes there after that. You sort of look down the receiver position, like it's. Subpar, like that's clearly the worst position on the team. Lots of guys, Corey Davis, Beasley, John Brown, Marquise Brown, Devonta Parker, right? Adam Thielen. Like there's guys there, but I'm not sure anyone's moving the needle. His best assets clearly are his tight ends, Kittle, Tanya, and Waller. So, when you sort of look at that, like that could be there's a good chance that's a playoff team. There's a good chance it's a playoff team. The other one. So, I would say that's probably the best, maybe the best team of them out there. The next team that, again, this is a Winston team. So here's this guy's starting quarterbacks, Winston, Jimmy G, Drew Lock, Jacob Eason, Tyrod Taylor. There's a chance there's not a week one starter on that team. Again, I think that's probably an unlikely thing, but there's a fairly good chance that there's not a difference-making quarterback on that roster. Like, there's a chance that by week five, this guy's got no quarterbacks. Like, there's a chance that Jimmy G gets benched, that Drew Lock gets benched, that Carson Wentz is back, that Tyrod Taylor, they've already gone to, whether it's Watson or Davis Mills or whoever, and that Winston isn't the starting quarterback. Like there's a lot of outs for me to sort of hit. He has outs too, but like there's a decent chance that those picks are going to be really early. Also notable, he's got Barkley. So he could be potentially behind the thing. Again, if he's bad, I could potentially pivot back to him. He doesn't have much in the way of tight ends, struggling at the receiving core as well. Like he's a guy I could potentially pivot back to and say, hey, listen, I need for a stretch run, I can throw a pick at, I don't know, Nick Chubb or a Kamara, someone like that, and give myself a shot in the arm because his pick's going to be pretty valuable. Maybe I don't even trade him his pick back, but you sort of get the idea. Like that one could break well for me. And the last one, that team has Josh Allen and Rodgers, so pretty good. Like there's a good chance that one's going to be that one's going to be pretty good. So I think ultimately, like there's a good chance that three of these picks could be top six picks, right? There's a good chance that I get one in the middle of the round and that one of them's late, right? So it's going to give me a variety of stuff to potentially deal with again. And if one of mine is good, if I'm good this year, it's going to knock those picks, the likelihood of those picks being up further. If things broke right for me and somehow I was a buy team, right, all of a sudden those picks, there's a good chance that they're higher up in the pecking order in terms of draft picks next year. So those are just some of the things I'd keep in mind, especially when you sort of find yourself in this, like, it's crazy how long we think, dynasty, and how quickly things change. I mean, just the variety of change that has happened on my team, you know, with the Watson stuff, Davis landing in a great position, drawing me another first, fantastic. We'll see. I mean, we'll see with the running back stuff how that all boils out. Like, there's a chance that one of those guys is a starter for me. Like, there's a non-zero chance that it's Ty Johnson. You know, and that's kind of one of the bets that I made. Like, hey, let's just throw a little bit more volume at running back and see what happens. We couldn't have really thought about Julio being a trade guy. Again, I don't think it's a bad situation. It's a different situation. There's a lot of variety here in terms of stuff that has happened. I encourage you to sort of really sit when you're thinking about your team, like have a wide range of outcomes. Hey, if things go right, here's what the pivots that I could make. If things go poorly, like, hey, here's the things that I'm going to kind of need to do. And I think it's really important this time of year to sort of go through that exercise, because what will happen is, and this is the big takeaway, what will happen is you will have a roadmap on how to handle it, right? You'll have the ability to make a good, thoughtful decision, unbiased by some of the, unbiased by some of the pressures of the season and wanting to sort of win right now, like give yourself some benchmarks and some guidelines. I heard, I was listening to a podcast recently, and they were discussing, how to basically make pro analytics moves, essentially, like how to make some of the non-conventional, whether it's play calls or whether it's, going for it on fourth down or, going for two or, all of those things, like how to sort of handle those. And one of the things is basically like give yourself a default rule. And then if you violate the rule, like that's a spot where the GM and the coach have to get together and say, hey, why do we violate the rule? Like, you can do it. It's not a hard and fast rule, but listen, like there's going to be a really, thoughtful discussion about why we're sort of breaking what we know to be positive value decisions. And it could be a variety of things that happen in the game, that would cause you to not make the right decision, but you want to know what the rule is in advance, right? Anytime I'm, beyond my own 40, it's fourth and less than three, we're going. Right. And if we try to change that, if we say, hey, listen, like we're not going to go in this situation, we're going to punt instead. You can do that, but you got to kind of know, like, we're going to talk about that and try and figure out why we did that and understand that is the wrong decision. Generally, right? the rule is like, we don't do that. Rules can be broken, but sort of give yourself those rules in advance. So for me in this one, again, I'm thinking like if I start season, Michael Thomas nowhere to be found, Deshaun Watson nowhere to be found, I am losing record in four through 3 weeks. Like, all right, it's Zeke pivot time. Same thing, right? It's Julio's playing well. All right, it's Julio pivot time, right? And I can add assets to try and get a first, right? I can do those sorts of things to try and, give myself another crack at an elite piece, something like that, right? That's kind of the stuff for this team that I think is really important. Again, losing record, bottom six in the league in terms of points, these guys out, not coming back at any point, right? Make that decision and then pursue it. Have yourself some guidelines in advance and kind of live by them, right? You can break the rule, but have a darn good reason. And that's something I didn't do in leagues last year, where I sort of looked at whatever the situation was, and I said, okay, like, I'll be fine. Like, things are going to break right, and then all of a sudden, like, I've got, like, a bunch of Gio Bernard shares that I didn't sell on teams that didn't contend. And I'm like, ugh. But I sort of was like, hey, things are going to break my way. Like, if I had given myself some pretty clear guidelines in advance, hey, by week eight, we're negative record, bottom six in terms of all play record or potential points or any of that stuff. Like, we're kicking, we're without some major uptick, like really, really major uptick, suspended star quarterback coming back and playing. there's nothing here that's really going to change the arc of our team. Let's kick the can. I think making that decision, like having that decision kind of made now, it'll allow you to actually execute it in the right and proper way down the line. So that would be the big takeaway I would encourage you to do. You know, make a thoughtful decision, roadmap your team, and try and stick to it as the season comes along. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.